Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the news from Hutton Orbital Live. I am Harry Balzac, once again your host for the evening. I'm joined in the studio by someone who said she's on a diet, so she keeps her galaxy far, far away. The force that binds the community, it's Norma Snockers, otherwise known as Princess Panmay.
Thank you, Harry. It's nice to be here again. And next to me is the keeper of Hutton's BTS secrets. I've got a bad feeling about this. It's Wonker.
Thank you, Norma. No, that's a lightsaber, but I am pleased to see you. The final member of our crew is dressed all in gold, speaks over 6 million languages, none of them English, and is Mia Harkness, the apology officer, otherwise known as CUP Off.
Eleven!
Help me, Harry Man. You're my only hope.
You can't hold a candle to him.
Methinks the lads doth protest too much.
Flossie loses her grip.
Hot boss, election hots up.
Lucky number seven.
It's all coming back to me now.
News from the community that spans the galaxy.
We'd like to start the news this evening with a belated birthday for one of our number. Or rather, one of his own very special number. 21. The 3-in-1 that is 3 times 7, David Pearson, Commander Vantier, and Rudolf Hucker, which are just three of the aliases on his most recent charge sheet, has survived another trip around Sol, and I don't think any of us will forget the last 12 months in a hurry, no matter how much Megagin we use. All of his colleagues here on the radio station, and I'm sure all of you watching and listening, would like to wish 21 many happy returns for Wednesday, the 21st, naturally. And we're very sorry that he's not with us tonight, as it would have made the cake much easier to cut without a protractor. The Hutton Truckers, and by association Hutton Orbital, would not be the same without 21's tireless energy and refusal to see crowded roads, dog leads, or even a complete lack of talent as an obstacle in his path. Though, arguably, if he had, he wouldn't now be able to scratch his own elbow or meet interesting people who have their own latex gloves when going through airport scanners. We hope that you're listening, Vantier, and that by now a tear will be forming in the corner of your eye as you realise that I swapped the label on your underpants with a pair 5 sizes too small, that you've not had to try to explain the vigorous massage that the affected area now requires. We know that nothing's too much trouble for you, but since even nothing is really too much trouble for us, instead of a card, we've recycled last year's message to you from LCU No Full Like One.
Happy birthday, Victor Tom. I'm sorry that I can't be with you, but my soul permit was revoked after one of my experiments went wrong, and, well, let's not dwell on that. My colleagues and I at Canon have clubbed together to arrange a very special birthday gift for you. Please open the box in front of you.
Thank you very much. What is it?
All will become clear in a moment. Our kitchen scientists aboard Gnosis have baked this very special birthday cake for you. It's a Victoria sponge made from the rarest ingredients in the galaxy. A single Apionis egg from 47 Ceti at a meter across. It's more than enough for a cake of this size. The flour is ground from HR7221 wheat, and the butter made from azure milk, and the sugar extracted from LTT Hypersweets, a And let's not forget the jam in the centre. A glossy green confection made with Thargoid resin to give the cake a little kick, which is tempered by the thick layer of stiffened Thrutis cream. Dr. Arcanum himself has provided us with enough candles for each year since your birth. It was a tight squeeze, but we managed to make them fit. Now, you're probably wondering, what was the point of getting you a cake with all those candles when you aren't here in person to blow them out? Well, that's what the device you're holding is for. Our engineers in R&D call it the hypoeffluinator. If you blow into the tube, it will transmit the velocity of your breath to the twin device here in my bridge, and it will extinguish the candles on your cake. Just one moment while I light them. Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! I saw a fat Thargoid, and I thought it was you. Hip, hip. Oh, perhaps we should speed this up. It's getting hot in here. Would you be so good as to blow through the tube now? Blow it now. Please, could you blow it now?
I am blowing.
Blow harder.
I'm blowing as hard as I can.
Wait, I think the polarity is reversed. Suck it. Suck it now. Suck harder. I think I'm going to explode. Suck it, man. It's working! No, wait, the candles are relighting! Dr. Arcanum, this is not the time for joke candles!
I'm afraid your cake is ruined. If you'd be so good as to send someone to collect my escape pod, I would greatly appreciate it. Oh, never mind, there's a ship approaching.
News now of progress in the frankly tiresome bromance between Rampage and Hanky, the Boars of the Roses. The week started badly when Hanky, and it has to be said, everyone else on the trip, accused Rampage of sneaking off during the on-foot action to go and loot the recently depopulated settlement of all the items that just happened to be lying around. While his teammates risk life, limb, and the pursuit of happiness just around the corner. Hey, we haven't finished, Rampage said inquiringly, but this did not go down well with his battle-scarred erstwhile companions, who have now given him the nickname of Nickit. Nor did, clearing base in a Maverick suit and taking out opposition, which elicited responses along the lines of, yeah, right, and photos, or it didn't happen. Hanky and Rampage faced off and continued to exchange insults, taking steps forward each time, getting ever closer. You know how it is with people who really like each other but can't admit to anyone, least of all themselves, you know, where you shout at the screen, get on with it already! Until I swear, if there weren't space helmets in between, there would have been some stubble-on-stubble action before they moved away, embarrassed. The boys did sort of miss and make up when they later stood side by side in a battle to win the war at Zeta to Carne, although they were careful to be seen to be a conspicuous distance apart for the official photo. For God's sake, guys, get a bloody room!
Sad news this week, when Flossie managed to break her constant companion. No, not wrong way, he's made of sterner stuff. No, this is the implement that Flossie uses to keep herself feeling good at night and that warms her insides when she's in bed. Her silver Hutton mug. Not for Flossie, the mollycoddling of a mug that's kept in a trophy cabinet, nor the storage of her mug on a shelf that later decides that it needs to express its inner shelfness by being less than horizontal. Flossie opted for the direct approach of using it every day for over 5 years. until the handle fell off. In four pieces. Some might say that the essential mugness of the mug is intact, because it can still hold liquid. Others would argue that it's now been transformed into a beaker and thus ascended to a higher plane of existence. We do not hold truck with, see what I did there, is the theory that this was one of the zero-G mugs that had its handle attached in an unconventional direction, and that Flossie tried conversion therapy to change its orientation with predictable results. Video footage taken in Flossie's quarters later showed that Norma Snockers had come to visit and was demonstrating the best grip for a smooth backhand stroke with a pan that would cause the correct amount of pain without permanent damage or marks that needed to be explained to the neighbours. When Wrongway decided to duck and... We're not sure if repairs have been successful, but Commander Wrongway was most recently seen with a lump on the back of his head and three fingers glued together.
Well, it's that time of year again. The leaves are falling from the trees, the nights are fair drawing in, and Hotbox have worn out another Hot Boss. After a year of expeditions, Exploration Gold Trophy, CQC Madness, Community Goals and BGS work, he's had enough, and he wants to be set free to roam the Northumbrian Highlands of his birth, commune with the wild white cattle, and throw stones at the Angel of the North. And so, as Malice XR3 is sedated and dragged away whimpering to the infirmary, it's time to find a replacement. So, if there's someone in the group you don't like, why not throw them under the space bus and nominate them for the next Hot Boss? Or is change in the air? I've heard talk of revolution, and of Hotbox becoming a republic, or an anarcho-syndicalist commune, or maybe you just want to turn the whole thing into a kibbutz. Well, now's your chance. From now until next Thursday, you can nominate some poor schmuck for leader. From Monday 4th until Friday 8th October, the nominated candidates will be put forward for your vote. And then the, let's say, winner will be announced on Saturday 9th October. To nominate, please send a private message either to myself or to Andrew Swaysland on Facebook. To nominate, you must be a member of the Hutton Truckers and an Xbox Commander. As usual, I shall be your returning officer and as such may not be nominated. Previous Hot Bosses may also not be nominated. This means you cannot nominate Andy Gidler, Matthew Main, Chris Whitwam, Corey James Venezia or Andrew Swaysland. They've all done their bit and seen far, far too much.
Our main story tonight concerns change. Change to our way of life, our way of flying, our way of walking, and even how we roll. The Pilots Federation has had the builders in, the plumbers, the man with the machine that goes ping, and just about every trade possible, and they've given us a list of changes that's longer than the set of import documentation. We obviously don't have time to go through every change in detail, and we've covered things like the natty new railings. The scriptwriter put balustrade, but I refuse to say that word. Oh, damn. Redirecting your Apex shuttle and the small matter of anti-air turrets. But here are the ones that we think are important. Removing the power regulator from a settlement will no longer automatically open the emergency cupboard full of criminals, known colloquially as a can of whoopass. But the criminals will have stopped off at Bad Guys or Us to get natty little outfits, presumably so that they look better dressed on the wanted posters.
One for Flossie here. The two problems that made it difficult to sign up for community goals and that stripped you of any progress if you abandoned other missions have been fixed. So there's no excuse not to get involved, is there?
If you steal someone's identity and get caught, you now only get fined once, not every time you get seen by someone. Now they just get more and more angry, which is bad news if you run into an enforcer, as after some assertiveness training, they will now pick a weapon and stick to it. And it'll be pistols for close work, rockets for long range. This should result in far fewer calls for cleanups inside buildings, where pieces of commander are spread all over the wall and ceiling.
Couples counselling has meant that pairs of characters will actually get together to have a conversation. instead of shouted exchanges of the "Will you tell your father he's a pig?" variety between two different rooms.
There are new barks coming, apparently, and Alvin has been practising his, ready for when he gets the call to come and record.
Recruitment for Apex and Frontline pilots has meant that they now speak your native language and no longer have to mime to a recording like they're auditioning for a Jackie Chan movie.
Owners of the Fitbit 3307 models will be glad to know that the distance walked on foot statistic is now correct, so it's easier to get your 10,000 leaps per day.
Putting your tool away has never been easier, as you can press the same button that allowed you to get it out and wave it about. On the other hand, getting your weapon out will no longer immediately result in reckless endangerment, not until you've had it out for long enough for them to get a good, long, admiring look, that is.
Fleet carriers may become the floating black markets of the galaxy, with the revelation that it's now possible to give stolen tritium to the owner.
Self-conscious commanders who objected to having their personal messages read whilst using a terminal in a crowded concourse are now issued with a cloth, which they can drape over their head and the terminal, and this allows them to select a new outfit and get changed inside, which is a vast improvement over the previous method of getting your mum to hold a towel for you.
Improved consumer legislation means that the livery store can no longer offer the most expensive option when you've asked for it to be sorted starting at the cheapest.
If you're stopped by the authorities and asked to explain your mission, you'll no longer be able to claim, "Is it illegal? I didn't notice," because they're highlighted in purple, a colour so different that even Vantian can see it.
A couple of fixes to the arc cutter have been implemented. One, the angle of the beam has been straightened, as it just looked plain silly to anyone watching you trying to cut a panel, as if it was a tool you'd borrowed from Gusto the Clown. But it has meant that the cutter now can work through obstructions, which includes other pilots.
A new, improved material has been issued for all spacesuit visors, so that when you're on a planet's surface, snow will look snowier, rocks will rockier, and the improved optics means that rocks will no longer appear to float above the ground.
Ships have had a load of improvements, but the most useful has been the fitting of cowcatchers to the front of ships, so that you're less likely to be hurt at low speeds or launched into the air, much to the amusement of your teammates, and you're much, much more likely to fall off.
There are loads more improvements to our way of life, so when, and only when, the show finishes, why not go and take a look for yourselves?
Well, it's good to be back in the BGS seat, despite the slight stickiness, and I'm glad to see that not much changed while I was off enjoying some good wood, and that everywhere is all happiness and light. Except in George's pants. Everywhere is happy, except in George's pants. There is a cloud in George's pants. We suspect methane, but have really been too scared to get too close to tell. Why are folks not happy in George's pants? Answers on a sublight postcard, please. Ignoring Lord 26, into which we expanded last week, and in which Hutton are just chilling with the Minutemen, only two systems are below 40%. Barnard Star is continuing its rumbling along act in the low 30s despite throwing a public holiday. Honestly, I ask you, this is not time to sit around drinking beer and barbecuing. It's no wonder that you're in a mess. And Wolf 1481 has dipped to 38. Epsilon Indy is close on 41% and has had an outbreak of the space lurgy, so ship in meds at ridiculous profit and ship out bourbon and keep it to drink yourself. Elsewhere, pirates are causing a spot of bother in Wolf 359 and PSPF-LF2, so do pop over there and give them a piece of your mind and a whiff of your multi-cannons. At the top end of the systems league, we have five systems above 60%, but two of these are above 70. Too high, folks. It's just too high. Meanwhile, in Colonia, the Archduke of Hotcoll himself, Earl Hankey, has gone and got embroiled in a war in Pythias against the dictatorship Societas eriduritorum de civitas Dei. So get in there, make fun of the way they march about, scuff the toes of their highly polished jack boots, and tuck disparagingly in their general direction. Oh, and blow the crap out of their ships for good measure, because there's nothing civitas about those blighters at all. And if you're not of the dictator-slapping persuasion, work in tier. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence in Barnard Star and Wolf 1481, or ship meds into Epsilon Eridani, shouldn't it? If you want to shoot something, head over to PSPF-LF2 and Wolf 359 and teach some pirates the errors of their ways. Or if you find yourself in Colonia, and let's face it, a lot of commanders go to Colonia to find themselves, go and perforate some dictatorship ships.
And now for news of community-led events. As usual, links will be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. The Fleet Carrier Consu must be running very low on supplies of lemon-scented paper napkins as they move inexorably long along the 124 waypoints of the Cannon Challenge, and it's still going to be a long, long time till touchdown brings them round again to find something, something, something. Commander Mephisto, who is far too chipper for someone who's been away this long, has engaged a funky to send this message from the flight deck.
The Comfy Cannon crews featured K-13 type anomalies at waypoint 74. Then the less scientific but more touristic waypoints 75 and 76 were visited. Beagle Point, as the farthest reachable system without frameshift drive injections from Sol, is obligatory to visit for any explorer, but as passengers saw, it's also a bit overrun with vacationists these days. At the beacons for Zai the Beagle and for the system itself, one has to watch out not to crash into a beluga. Oyavasi SG-YD0, more colloquially known as Isham's Reach or Samota's Beacon, on the other hand, is even more remote and thus much less crowded because it's only reachable using frameshift drive injections or by fleet carrier. Moon F of planet B9, also called Salome's Reach, on its orbit because it becomes the most distant object from Sol that can be reached by commanders. Here the passengers of Khonsu met up on foot in a beautiful crater to properly celebrate. A cargo canister each of Hutton Mugs and Centauri Megajin were provided by the captain, but probably were the cause for the chaos that ensued after group photos were taken. After sights had been enjoyed and memories had been made, the crews departed towards two overlapping tritium hotspots. There, Khonsu is now being refueled to continue to the next waypoint tomorrow. Contrary to last week's statement, the northwestern quadrant is now travelled. The captain held the holo map upside down when writing the last report and apologised for this mistake.
The Wild Wild West expedition is going boldly where it's very likely that anyone has gone before, and Commander Analog Kid has sent us this far-flung missive.
Are we not doing silly voices this week? Right then.
The Wild Wild West expedition is well underway now, and this week we are at our fifth waypoint. So far we've visited deadly planets inside the jet cone of a white dwarf, explored stellar nurseries around nebulae, used ships to make bridges across cannons, and visited the Lithobreaker planet in its last few days as the High G record holder. Through all this, we've been exploring deep into the unknown, making new discoveries, and putting our mark on systems and planets never before seen.
Expedition All the Clouds in the Sky has been busy, busy, busy as they head for the edge of the galaxy, and Commander Diluvian has managed to catch his breath and send us this message.
Expedition All the Clouds in the Sky departed from HIP 36601, the crystalline sites, after a longer few-day stop. The purpose of this delay was to give everybody a chance to switch to Horizons and backfill all the necessary high-grade materials. the time was also used to load the big belly of the Zodiac with as much tritium as possible. The crew almost maxed out the interno cargo hold and sailed towards Amundsen Star. The travel plan was to do 39 fleet carrier jumps with at least 4 full depot refills. LHL-31Z Zodiac is scheduled to reach the rim of the galaxy at its most extreme point to the south later today. After that, the crew will enjoy the stunning view, but later on look for some more fuel and get ready for the next waypoint, Sepositus Beacon, the system furthest away from the centre of the galaxy.
Thanks to Commander Dokomender for the photo, and Commander Diluvian would like to offer special thanks to Commander Hazard 6S as the expedition's main miner. For those of you who like the peripatetic lifestyle and want to wander to all the edges of the galaxy, Commander Infernal Moose has just what you need. It's been an exciting first week on the Great Galactic Circumnavigation Infernal Expedition. After fully refueling both supply carriers and the expedition carrier with about 70,000 tons of tritium, the expedition left on schedule to our first waypoint, where we celebrated the start of the expedition with mass jumps in both Odyssey and Horizons. Since departure, we've jumped the carrier almost 100 times over 46,000 light years, visited 10 expedition waypoints, and reached the end of leg 1 of the expedition. We are now at Magellan Star, the easternmost system in the galaxy. The stars are very sparse here, and the visuals are amazing. We've had about 5 commanders making their own epic journeys to catch up with the carrier. Commander Shuffle Q raced over 32,000 light years in about 20 hours, and others caught us even later in our journey. Kudos to all who were able to make it. Big thank you also to Commander Phoenix, who flew over 2,000 light years at the start of the expedition in his T9, fully loaded with tritium to provide more fuel for the carrier. Commander Solandri has provided another amazing service to the expedition by catching up with his fleet carrier stocked with an array of ships and modules for sale to the expedition, which has allowed the latecomers as well as the unprepared to be much more comfortable for the rest of the journey. Big thanks to Commander Solandri. We've also had a bunch of social activities as well, from the mass jumps at the beginning to SRV races, Viper races, and even a free-for-all PvP deathmatch. The bar on the carrier remains the social hub of the expedition, with commanders swapping stories and sharing experiences. Finally, the first refueling carrier is scheduled to leave Gevel on Friday at 11 UTC. The unknown vessel will pass through Sagittarius A and then travel another 25,000 light years to rendezvous and refuel the expedition. Anyone wishing to join us is very welcome to catch a ride. We have 100 commanders signed up on EDSM now, and more are joining. Commander Jiggy von Richthofen is organising an expedition with a very singular purpose: Earth-like worlds. And there are credits to be had for your discoveries above and beyond those offered by Universal Cartographics. This is not an expedition for weekend warriors. You'll need to dedicate 6 months of your life to the task, but the rewards are substantial, and the commander explains.
I hereby invite any and all commanders to join in my great Earth-like world fishing expedition. The fully outfitted fleet carrier USS Saratoga will depart from the bubble, presently located at Skardi 1, on October 11th and proceed directly to Zunau, Kilo Uniform Delta, Delta 13-3764, in the Empyrean Straits region of the Galactic Core. Upon arrival at the destination system, all registered participants are invited to compete in a 6-month-long Earth-like world hunt to conclude on April 11th. To those commanders interested, I will offer prize money in-game credits to be distributed by the way of fleet carrier markets to those who place first, second, and third in the competition. A grand prize of 20 billion credits will be paid to the overall winner, 10 billion to second place, and 5 billion to third place. Other prize money of lesser amounts, to be determined before launch of the expedition, will be paid to commanders for discovery of single Earth-like worlds, which are expedition records in various categories, also to be determined before the launch date.
And that's this week's summary of community-led events. If you want yours to be featured, just email itookpart@huttonorbital.com and we'll get in touch.
And that was the news. More silliness to come as we have a brand new Galnet News Digest, Flossie's Roundup of the CG News, and the Hutton Sports Report, all of which follow our little bit of banter and folderol, coming up right after this.